This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition for Week 4, Chiefs at Buccaneers. The Bucks Bulletin is the brainchild of Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Full service means family law. Full service means child support adjustment. Full service means divorce. Full service means post-judgment. Full service means domestic violence injunctions. If you are curious what full service means as it relates to your legal needs, just ask for a free consult. You can do so very quickly online at brandonlegalgroup.com, or you can call 844-4BLG-4ME, your full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area, Brandon Legal Group. Remember, you can request a free consultation online at brandonlegalgroup.com. Email for fantasy purposes is right.todd@yahoo.com. This is about the earliest I've recorded a Bucks bulletin in the history of this particular podcast. It is Monday. It is Monday afternoon. It is less than 24 hours since the kickoff of the Bucks-Packers game in the rearview mirror. But I may not have access to my podcast equipment for the next 72 hours to 96 hours as I may be leaving town. So as a result of that, I want to make sure that I do something in advance of Bucks Chiefs from a fantasy standpoint as best as I can. This will be very general because as we speak on Monday afternoon, we honestly don't know, A, if the Chiefs-Bucks game will be played Sunday night, B, if the Chiefs-Bucks game Sunday night will be played in Tampa, C, if the Chiefs-Bucks game will actually be played to represent Week 4 of fantasy football, meaning could it be postponed to a Monday or Tuesday and potentially somewhere other than Tampa. So all that is in play. No, the Chiefs and Bucks don't have the same bye week, so it's not an easy fix. The Chiefs and Bucks obviously are not division opponents, or you could flip-flop and the Bucks could just play in Kansas City this week, knowing there was a return game later in the season. Can't do that. So I'm just going to talk very general about what we've seen through 3 weeks as it relates to the Bucks and the Chiefs. For this particular Bucks bulletin, because it's all I can really do right now. From the Buccaneer standpoint, so much is going to depend on what players are healthy enough to actually be active for the game against Kansas City. At this point, I will say, if you own Tom Brady, you might be considering other options. There's going to be a breakout, but you're not satisfied with one touchdown passing. Brady gets you no yards rushing. You already knew that. The attraction to Tom Brady and why he was a top five fantasy quarterback last year was he throws a lot of touchdown passes. He's not doing that right now. I'm not telling you to cut him. I'm not telling you to trade him. I'm just saying that you might be best served to look at other options. If you have a backup quarterback on your roster who has been productive all or part of the previous 3 weeks and looks to be on a good run in a good offense, putting up points, scoring touchdowns, yes, you can consider that. You can. And then you're not rooting against Tom Brady. You're just hoping, hey, get it in gear so I can just put you back in my lineup and not even worry about taking you out of the lineup ever again. But I think we're to that point on him. You're not to that point on Mahomes. He had 5 touchdowns in the opening game, and then it dropped to 2, and then I believe it dropped to 1 in the most recent game. I'm invested in Mahomes. No. No interest in any other quarterback right now as it relates to Mahomes. I'm sticking with him in my starting lineup, especially against the Tampa Bay defense. It's not going to allow anything on the ground, not that Kansas City is going to ground and pound anyway. So the ball's going to be in Mahomes' hands to make plays against the Bucs via the air, because the Chiefs aren't really built to run the ball anyway. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had one of the more interesting lines of any running back so far this season in the Week 3 game where the Chiefs lost the Colts. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 7 rushes for 0 yards and 1 touchdown. Now, some of you would say, how is that possible? He obviously gained yards on some of those 7 rushes, one of which he broke the plane of the end zone. He lost yardage on some other carries. That's how that works out. So, yeah, 7 rushes, no yards, 1 rushing touchdown for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He has been better this year. He was better in his first 2 games. He was better at the end of last year. At this point, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is someone you can start in season-long leagues. Against the Buccaneers, I don't know that I would. I mean, I sat A.J. Dillon, who I'm heavily invested in multiple leagues. I sat him in one of my leagues, not both. I didn't bench him completely, but I basically split the difference. I said, all right, I'll play him in one league, not in the other, against the Bucs defense. And I was right. That I was right to sit him. You should say, well, why? You should have sat him in both. You're not wrong. But there still was the chance Dillon could have gotten in. You know, Green Bay had a fumble, down on the 2-yard line. Dillon might have gotten that call to try to get that 2 yards for that red zone touch had Green Bay maintained possession. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, nor any Chief running back, is a strong start against a Todd Bowles run defense that is playing very well. Defense overall playing very well, made good in-game adjustments against the Packers after the Packers had 2 quick touchdown drives early in the game, nearly had a third, and then never got close to the end zone again. The only other Chief other than Mahomes that I think is a must start is Travis Kelce. It was interesting to see in fantasy life, Matthew Berry said, we have a new tight end one, and it's Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews was tight end one last year. So this is nothing new. Kelce had a big first game, had roughly 5 fantasy points in week 2. He still had double-digit fantasy points in week 3, but he dropped a second touchdown that also could have put the game away for the Chiefs. I would imagine he'll be very motivated to perform against the Buccaneers. And sure, I know it's the Bucs defense, but he's also Travis Kelce. So I won't be sitting Travis Kelce nor Mahomes against the Bucs defense because they are guys that I picked to play every week until which time I decide maybe I can get enough for them in trade. But no, I'm not going to tinker at this point, even against the Bucs defense, as it relates to Mahomes or Kelce. Juju Smith-Schuster was more involved in week 3 than he was in week 2, but there's nothing really standing out about putting Juju Smith-Schuster in your fantasy lineup and knowing he's going to get you double-digit points. He hasn't done it in 3 games. I still think he needs to distinguish himself as a wideout that stands out above other wideouts with the Kansas City Chiefs, something that Tyreek Hill did previously and no other Chief wide receiver was able to do. Also from the Chiefs' standpoint, you may still be hanging on to Harrison Butker, who has now missed 2 games. His replacement was fine in week 2 and then not fine in week 3. So the time frame may move up on Butker to get back in there by the time you listen to this podcast. And if someone cut him, you might want to pick him up because he is one of the more prolific fantasy kickers out there. So there's the Chiefs. From the Bucs standpoint, already talked about Tom Brady, and then I segued to Mahomes. You definitely keep Leonard Fournette just rolling along. Keep plugging him in. The volume is there. I don't know why he didn't get even more volume in the game against the Green Bay Packers. You may be frustrated that Fournette hasn't scored a touchdown. It's coming. It's coming. It has to. The Bucs have no rushing touchdowns. But Fournette has been their most consistent offensive performer that has been available in all three games. Better than Brady. Evans has only been available in two of the three games. And yeah, Evans comes back off suspension. Of course, you're putting him right back in your lineup. Godwin, check status. Everyone else, check status. The Russell Gage thing is interesting to me. He did have a good fantasy game. The touchdown came on the last possible play, not including two-point conversions. I'm not sure what it means for Gage's future. The Bucs do have $15 million guaranteed in him, and it's not off to a great start. The last drive was better as it relates to Gage, but I mean, Brady really didn't have much else at that point. And you're trying to come from behind, you're down eight, and the clock is working against you. So I don't know what to read into Gage getting double-digit fantasy points. He had a fumble earlier in the game. I think he's just benefiting from the fact that Evans didn't play, Godwin didn't play, Jones didn't play. I'm not sure him and Brady are on the same page, and Brady might just be doing whatever he can with whatever he has to work with at this point. And of the entire collection of pass catchers that were available in the Green Bay game, Gage is clearly the most talented one, and that's why they put $15 million guaranteed in him when they signed him via free agency from Atlanta. I don't think Cole Beasley distinguished himself. He did make one wonderful grab on a third down conversion play. Was that a third or a fourth down conversion play? But there might be only so much he could do, although with a week of practice, it could be better as it relates to Beasley. I'd just keep an eye on it. But more important, to get back Evans and put him in your lineup. If Godwin is active, he's in your lineup. I don't get what's going on with Julio Jones. Well, here's what I do get. This is the same thing that Atlanta dealt with 2 years ago and the same thing Tennessee dealt with last year. And Todd Bowles and the Bucs can spin it however they want. Oh, he wasn't hurt. You know, we're just looking at the big picture and we're going to use him in different games. Are you saying a week three game against the Packers, a team you're probably going to need a head-to-head win against in the play? It made no sense to me. Either Jones is still hurt and they're trying to defuse the situation, or the Bucs made a very bad call. I'm inclined to believe the former, and they're covering up the fact that he was too injured to play. And for all the talk about how good Julio Jones has been since coming to Tampa, he can't stay on the field. And that's the same reason he had trouble keeping jobs the last 2 years. Nothing has changed. Ryan Succop, you can keep putting him out there tight end wise. No. And you shouldn't be playing in a mandatory tight end league anyway. You know, I've been telling you that for the 7 years I've been doing fantasy podcasts. So that's pretty much all I can do for you right now, since I'm taping this on a Monday afternoon and I'm not sure when you're going to hear this. There's, I guess, a chance that the Bucs-Chiefs game somehow will be postponed. I think they have to play this game somewhere, whether it's Sunday night, Monday night, at the worst, Tuesday night, to get it in, rather than juggling a lot of things on the schedule. We saw a lot of weird things during COVID about teams getting games in. So some unprecedented things did happen, but I do think the Bucs-Chiefs game will be played this week, whether it's in Tampa or not, whether it's on Sunday night, Monday night, or Tuesday night. Or not. Sunday night, Monday night, or Tuesday. So there's the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin for Bucks Chiefs. As best as I can do it so early in the week, less than 24 hours after kickoff of the Bucks-Packers game and the Chiefs result against the Colts. Again, my email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. That's the Bucks Bulletin presented by Brandon Legal Group.